following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Morning, everyone. It is Saturday, August 29th, out at Lambeau Field. I'm Jim Ozarski, along with your co-host, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com. We have got our coffee brewing in the background. You might hear that because it's been a long week. We haven't talked a whole lot of football over the last few days, so we're gonna dive into this a little bit for you guys. And let's just get right into it. I mean, cuts are literally a week from the recording of this podcast. They're going to go from 80 to 53. As a reminder, Brian Gutekunst can bring back 16 players to his practice squad. So really, I mean, I guess you could argue there's 11 spots or 11 guys who, they won't be with the Packers in 2020, and at least at the start here. So let's just go with a general question, and I know people want to know this, Tom. Who has stood out? Who has really kind of made an impression here in this very unique training camp these last few weeks?
Yeah, well, I think when we say that, we're saying that in terms of making the squad, because I think we know who the starting lineup's going to be on both sides of the ball. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of mystery to that. You know, they keep saying inside linebacker is up for grabs, but we know that if they can do it, you know, and they would like to probably start Kamal Martin at inside linebacker. They drafted him for a reason, and it would surprise me if he didn't, but, you know, I think they're testing him, trying to figure out whether he's ready. And it's possible they'll say no. But anyway, I think what we're talking about are basically key backup positions and depth. And so some of the guys that have stood out to me with potential that I think they'll have to think about keeping on the 53, a guy like Tim Williams, I think, has made a case for himself. I actually think that Wellington Prevelyan has made a little bit of a case for himself, probably very much on the edge. Deshaun Amos, I think, has made a case for himself. Malik Taylor, I think, has made a case for himself. Going down the list, Tim Boyle's been really impressive. Wide receiver, I think, is still really wide open. I mean, we know that MVS, Lazard, and Davante Adams are on the team. After that, I'm not really sure. Kind of just how many are they going to keep and who's going to stand out. They know what Kumerow can do. They got to find out more about Reggie Begelton. They got to find out more about Malik Taylor. They got to find out more about Malik Turner. And I'm probably forgetting somebody in there.
Equanimeous St. Brown.
Equanimeous St. Brown. I got to think that he's got a pretty good chance of making it. So that's kind of the gist of where they're at. It's deciding how many guys they want to keep at a certain positions, and that's going to determine who they keep. And of course, you know, how many guys they keep at a position is dependent on who's really playing well. So it kind of goes hand in hand. I think there could be a couple of surprises on the final 53.
Yeah, so I'm gonna highlight a couple names there that people probably haven't thought much about, or if credit to some of the hardcore Packers fans who've reached out to me in various ways, they are paying attention. You mentioned, you know, Wellington Prevelyan, the undrafted free agent out of Rutgers, along a defensive line. I'm gonna lump him in with Trayvon Hester, one of the few free agent acquisitions this club made. Now, Hester, you know, got a really late start. He was on the COVID list to begin with. You know, we've seen Kingsley Keke flash. We've written about that, talked about it. You know, I think Tyler Lancaster's a guy who's on the team, Tom. I mean, he's also flashed, to his credit. I think they kind of know who he is. But what about Hester? What about Pavilion? And maybe specifically, what have you seen from the undrafted kid that, you know, makes him intriguing? Especially, I think you have to factor in this Montrevious Adams toe thing. Because that may also affect weird machinations. If people can remember, you know, the St. Brown Sternberger issue a year ago with carrying a guy to IR, putting a guy on season ending IR. I mean, you know, and that's why I focus on the D line there, Tom, to start with, because I think that could be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, they got a decision to make with Montrevious Adams. So in order to be able to put him on IR so that he can come back, I believe you have to carry him on the 53 and then put him on IR. He's not eligible for PUP because he's already practiced. So what do they do there? Do they just cut bait at this point because they haven't got much out of him and now he's hurt? Or do they just hang on and wait? I think they have to keep one of those other two guys. I think they do, because if Adams is out, that's the body they're down, that they're going to need somebody to fill that spot. So they may have to keep one extra defensive lineman to start. You know, Hester is the guy with more experience. You know, the undrafted rookie, from what I've saw, just most of my impressions are in the one-on-one pass rush drill, and he's just got a really great get off. He's given Jake Hansen fits. Now, I can't tell you that he's filled gaps and done his assignment in team drills. You know, only the Packers can tell you whether that's true. So it's possible they just feel like, okay, he's got some potential and we'll see if we can get him through the waiver wire and bring him back as a practice squad. That's probably what's going to happen, but you know, I think they got to take a look at him. He's a big man that can play over the nose, and they don't have a lot of true nose tackles. So yeah, that's something we'll be watching.
Well, wide receiver has been a topic of conversation and for a lot of fans, consternation and worry for the better part of a year and a half at this point. So let's loop back to that specific position group. I think we've been pretty clear throughout these pre-practice podcasts, you know, that we haven't really seen special, although Marquez Valdez-Scantling has been more consistent these last weeks or week and a half. But to your point of a true roster battle, I think that's interesting because you're right. I you know, is Malik Taylor any worse of an option than Equanimee St. Brown, or is Reggie Begelton any better than Jake Kumerow? I don't know. I mean, you haven't seen the amazing leaps or things, you know, let's just say a year ago where you really thought, wow, Darius Shepherd has separated himself here, or Alan Lazard looks like he can be a player. Yeah. Is that kind of where you were kind of going with that, where the back end of that room, whether it's three or four guys?
Yeah. I think it's totally up in the air. I'm waiting for somebody to make a move, someone to just have this outstanding practice. I mean, MVS did that for two practices, and they would, you know, kept saying they want to see more. And, you know, he started sort of working in a hole, out of a hole, from what happened last year. The other guys are on, you know, even ground. And so if they could just make some kind of splash to show that they have that ability, then they got a chance to make it. You know, I keep waiting for Reggie Begelton to make a really big play, and it just hasn't happened. Equanimeous St. Brown, I think, has been solid. He had a drop yesterday. That wasn't good. You know, Malik Taylor's in the 11-on-11s has produced. I thought he's been pretty good. But he's just a big body receiver. He's not a special athlete. So how many of those guys do you need? You know, they just don't have anyone who's really special. MVS has the potential to be that guy because of his athletic ability, but there's no breakout speed. There's no, I don't know. Darius Shepherd, I thought, had a good practice yesterday and seems to be coming on a little bit. So I want to keep an eye on him too.
Is it possible, Tom, as we think about this offense and what we've seen or haven't seen, that they go even more heavy, at least at week one? I mean, who knows what can happen after that first week? What guys are dealing with that may go on short-term IR, et cetera. Like last year when they knew Sternberger was going to go to IR, but they had to carry him through, they cut Allen Lazard, and then they do the flip at that point. Is it possible that they carry an additional tight end or an additional running back and kind of buck long-standing Packers tradition and kind of go shorter in the receiver room, at least out of these first cuts, just based on some of the stuff we've seen or haven't seen from those other positions?
Yeah, that's a good point. I am willing to bet you right here that the number two leading receiver on this team is a running back.
Yeah.
By the time the end of the year comes around. And maybe the number three guy is a running back too. I just think that those guys are going to become real big outlets because they just don't have the wide receiver talent. I think we're going to see those backs being a big part of the passing game this year. And so, yeah, I would keep those backs. I'd have a hard time cutting Dexter Williams. I might be the only one who thinks that, but I just think the guy's got too much talent to, you know, he's still a work in progress, but you can see that the guy's got talent. And if he ever puts it all together, he could be pretty dynamic.
Yeah, he's a guy I think that's part of the calculus for Brian Gutekunst in this era, this COVID restricted era of reporting. Dexter Williams, there's a draft book. I'm sure teams had him with a draft grade. There's preseason games from a year ago. There's actually film on Dexter Williams, as opposed to maybe some other guys who, you know, if they have to make a hard decision on, they might be able to get them to the practice squad. I do want to bring up the quarterback and not so much Tim Boyle or Aaron Rodgers, however they may start or not start in Minneapolis. Well, I think what we can say is Jordan Love continues to work through some things, and you know, I sort of inadvertently caused an issue or a firestorm on Twitter, Tom. I recorded a drill from the three guys, and, you know, Jordan Love didn't have a good throw. And suddenly that became a referendum on his career. But I encourage Packers fans to understand what we're saying here. What we see is his 10th practice. I don't think he's practiced since December, Tom, in a team setting.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah. It's absurd to denigrate him for his performance here. I mean, to even make the assumption that, you know, look, he can't beat out Aaron Rodgers or whatever. No kidding. The guy has had no off season. You know, he's basically coming from a run and shoot offense. He's a junior, you know, he's an early eligible, and he's basically being thrown into a high level offense, and he's getting like half a third of the reps of the other guys. So anybody who's writing him off is an idiot, I'm sorry. Or even comparing him to Rodgers at right. This point is stupid. Just stupid.
Yeah, it's so I think it's yeah. I mean, we're not gonna sanitize you know, some people were thought I was like picking on the kid. And I said, hey, look, man, that's the drill and that's the pass he threw. But, you know, he's had his struggles. He's been inaccurate at times.
Absolutely.
But he's
newsflash, he struggled, you know.
Right.
You need to tell me a rookie quarterback who hasn't.
Right. It'll make us all kind of watch with an interesting eye. And again, that's the difference in, say, the number one overall pick, Joe Burrow. He is literally getting all the reps in Cincinnati, you know, and that's a huge difference as well. As we started this talking about, you know, this team is pretty set, and that is true. And you mentioned Tim Williams. I think, you know, he's a fourth-year pro now, Tom. I think he spent two and a half years in Baltimore, came on here last year via waivers. Now, conversely, I don't know if I've seen anyone that's been disappointing, like where you thought – I mean, it's one thing to say, like we did with the receivers, we haven't seen someone step up, but I think Jay Kumerow is Jay Kumerow. Like, he isn't disappointed. He hasn't fallen off. Aaron Jones is Aaron Jones. You know what I mean? So I guess I would say, is that a good thing for Brian Gutekunst? Or do you see that too, where the floor of the talent of this team is kind of set as well?
Yeah, I mean, you could take it two different ways. I mean, you could say that is true. I think your assessment there is true. On the other hand, have they really been put to a test without a preseason game, you know, without real action? I think we don't know whether – I think there have been fewer opportunities for guys to just blow coverages and screw up. And, you know, it's not like – if they blow a coverage in practice compared to in front of 60,000 people on TV – you know, we know about that, and so does everybody else. So you don't see the, you can't measure those mistakes. We might catch it in practice, but it's harder to do. So
that's a good point.
I'm sure there's guys making big blunders. You know, AJ Dillon had a couple of big mistakes yesterday, but it's not going to get him cut. But that's the kind of stuff where, you know, you might see it, you might not.
Two veterans I want to bring up, I want to get your assessment on, because they're important parts of this team one way or the other, and that'd be Preston Smith and Billy Turner. I'm going to start with Preston Smith. We wrote about this in the notes a few days ago. He has gotten nearly every rep. I think the first breathers I saw him get were a few days ago at the Lambeau practice, which was hot, you know. But he hasn't – they're not giving him that veteran – kind of winking a nudge, you know, you've earned a day off here. You know, I haven't seen him really affect the quarterback very much. Now I have seen him appear. I've seen 91 appear in the run game to a degree, you know, where he's tagging off a guy. I actually thought he got out into decent coverage, believe it or not, with a Devontae Adams play. Now he's not going to stay with Adams on a one cut, but I thought he did his job. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, his job is to get to the quarterback. And I don't know if I've seen Preston Smith flash like we did in camp a year ago.
I think we were probably on the right track when we thought he came in out of shape, just not training camp ready. And I think that's what has been his, you know, what he's been doing is playing catch up. And so I think when the games start, he'll be okay. I really don't have that much concern that if I'm the Packers about him. He is not the kind of guy who just steps on the field like Za'Darius Smith, who could roll out of bed and get a sack. You know, he could be out for 4 weeks, and the first day back, he's got three sacks.
Yeah.
You know, he's just such a dynamic player. Preston Smith is a little bit more of a, you know, a do-it-all kind of guy. So sometimes you don't see his impact right away. I don't think he's going to have the numbers he did, but I think some of it it's going to be because I think Rashawn Gary's going to I think he's going to be the beneficiary of these other two guys, and he really should be a double-digit sack guy this year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He, I've seen a lot of good things from him. His strength is just off the boards. We knew he's a phenomenal athlete. You know, he's an elite athlete for a guy his size, but we never saw him use it last year. And now I think he's got the harness off. I think his shoulder's okay. He obviously worked out really hard, and you see him throwing guys around. So I'm really, really eager to see what he's like to when they get in the games.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, I think he definitely would fit into the standout in camp category. I mentioned Turner, and in this context, Tom, so Rick Wagner returned to practice yesterday, elbow brace on his left arm. He's missed a few days. Clearly there was an issue there physically that he's had to work through. So Matt LaFleur was posed a question with, and I thought it was a smart one, has Lane Taylor basically won the right guard job, meaning there's a right tackle competition? And of course the head coach kind of deferred on that and didn't want to get into it, but I mean, in all reality, that's kind of what it feels like, and through maybe no fault of Rick Wagner's own. What does Billy Turner look like? I know when we talked a year ago, you, and even at the start of this camp, you wondered if he was suited for right tackle in this offense. Where are we at? Where are you at with watching him now? And you know, really a week before they kind of got to settle this thing, right?
Yeah. Well, assuming they go, let's just say they go with Lane Taylor and Billy Turner, it's a nice run blocking side of the line. You know, you could do a lot of stuff off that. You've put Mercedes Lewis there, and you can do some pretty nice run stuff because all three of those guys, that's their strength. I think Billy Turner, you're going to have to give him some help, especially when he's facing, you know, the Danielle Hunters of the world. It's going to be hard to let him go one-on-one down after down. You can do that with Bakhtiari. You could do that with Bulaga, but I don't know if you can do that with Billy Turner. So they're going to have to be real cognizant about that. He's got to develop into that position, and he just has pass rushing lapses, and those can really hurt you. So they're going to have to be real conscious about putting a tight end next to him, I think.
And I think it's fair to remind folks, again, this is the conversation we had last year when he was signed. You know, he's been in the league a long time. Last year was his first season as a starter in any capacity for 16 games. And now it feels like it could be his second season as a starter is at a completely different position. Mm. So we'll see how that goes. So before we wrap this, let's take a little look at today's practice, Tom. Beautiful weather. Looks like they'll be out at Rainichke Field. They were in full pads yesterday. They did not live tackle on the turf of the Hudson Center. Thoughts today on getting back outside and again, kind of this shrinking window of padded opportunities. Are we done with kind of seeing the slow walkthrough? Or is it kind of more full go?
Think we'll see that today. I think they'll be in pads, but I also think this could be a shorter practice because they've aimed for those Lambeau Field practices to be pretty heavy and pretty intense.
And that's coming up tomorrow for people, Sunday.
Right. And they're starting to get into the Sunday week routine. So I would guess tomorrow would be a really physical practice, and today would be a little bit of a come down from yesterday. So it does look like they're in pads. I see some photos of players riding bikes and they're in pads. So okay. It's just a matter of how long he decides to go.
Yeah, and just a reminder for folks, tomorrow it's a noon practice in Lambeau. We are actually going through our first pregame prep, like what we would have to do in terms of getting our temperatures checked and safe tests and all that stuff and getting into a stadium on game day. So you're right, Tom. Maybe a little shorter practice today with tomorrow being dialed up in like a game type setting with the noon start.
Yeah.
That's that. We will head out to Reinitschke Field and see what's what. But of course, thank you for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Follow us on all your social media channels at Jim Ozarski, at Tom Silverstein. And be sure to check in on Facebook Live with Olivia Reiner post-practice for the recap of today's action. Download, subscribe to PackersNews.com. Have that app on, notifications on, and we will talk to you tomorrow morning.